Randala. Wonka. Hey, Monica. Y'all got bad weather over there?
Yeah. Yeah. How about over there?
It's not raining yet, but it's awfully dark. And the wind is picking up. And they said up there by Jasper, they've got hail.
Yeah, it's flooding up in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Houston, north of Houston flooded.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So we're still raining here. It's rained most of the day. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what it showed on radar on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll get better.
We were coming home, and I think they had a car accident, and there was a fatality. We were coming back in traffic. Yeah, it was a little small cart hydroplaned and ended up under an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was an 18-wheeler in another car.
Mm-hmm.
But that was bad.
Yeah, it's sad. People need to learn to slow down, you know.
Well, they need to know.
Overpricing. Mm-hmm.
They need to know that speed kills.
Yeah. It's true. Excuse me. Yeah, I think it's supposed to rain through possibly Saturday, I think.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Mm-hmm. So, goodness. Hello.
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 We've been having internet problems. We've been on the phone with AT&T, so we just got our service back connected.
Uh-oh.
Well, y'all have bad weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably why.
He hasn't come on yet?
Not yet.
No, he hasn't come.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'll start with the Lashania Hood. We're in section 26 of Parashat Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We'll be at verse 263. Lashani Hood could chabri to Ishkin Tavit, Hilu, Urkimu, Ukilu, Ukilu, Urkimu, Layakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Babate, the Yehuda, Shadim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Lahino, Amadunai Lohino, Alena Maseya, Dena Penene, Alena Maseya, Dena Penenehu. Verse 263. Amar la la mi ham tami deha la yadana hey ah yis ishron bir kandile la padukta rekanya aval hashta peit lach shemen dahu atar leishta kacha Beya Birkan Minalan Diktiv Kashemen Hato Wigomer Vesefeya Makativ Hisham Siva Hashem et Habracha Haim Lam Uvatra Dasharan Birkan. The translation. Elisha said, "You have relieved me, because I did not know how the blessings of above would rest in an empty place. But now that you have some oil, this is the place where the blessings shall rest. How do we know this? Because it is written, it is like the precious ointment." And how does the verse end? With the words, "For there Hashem has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So in this place, namely in the oil, there are blessings. My commentary. This is referring to items connected to the right column, as we have learned earlier. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm just surprised it didn't take but just a smear of the oil to be enough to bring the blessing. You know, it didn't take a lot.
It doesn't take a lot. It takes your first step, your first action, and then Hashem will complete the action. As we are told that we do not have to complete the work, just begin it. And the begin it is one step out of a million, or 5 million, or 25 million, 26 million. Doesn't take a lot for the right column to bestow blessings. There just has to be something there. Mm-hmm. As we discussed yesterday, you leave the bread on the challah on the table on Shabbat when you're saying the Berakat HaMazon. If it is a half of a slice, if it's a quarter of a slice, if it's 5 grams, you know, 5 crumbs, it's still bread on the table. And the blessings rest where there is something to connect to. But if there is nothing to connect to, the flow doesn't happen. There's no desire there. And without desire, even 5 crumbs of bread is desire. Without desire, there can be no blessings.
Another thing, the lady that I told you that was homeless, that was living in the tent of someone's backyard today, when I went to see her, she had moved on. So, and who knows where, you know. So that was a strange to do.
Well, usually when that happens, there's a connection between that person being a truly poor person and Eliyahu Hanavi acting as that person. I'm not making that statement because obviously I don't know the people involved, but there are many times. If she ever said that she was hungry, that's an indication, because Eliyahu Hanavi usually connects somehow to bread.
Well, I don't think she was hungry, because the person's home that she was in their yard, you know, fed her and let her bathe and that kind of thing. But they said that she had gotten drunk and asked her to leave. That was the deal. As long as she wouldn't drink, she could stay in there kind of like a garage. And she didn't keep her part of the bargain. And she brought somebody else, brought a man, and so they were upset with her. So they told her she had to leave.
Remember what we discussed yesterday?
Yes.
It's not up to us to tell them how to live, to take away their free choice or try and coerce them into being upright citizens as we define it. They serve a purpose. You know, even being an alcoholic serves a purpose. It teaches lessons to other people. And unfortunately, from my opinion, the people who said go away haven't learned that lesson. But as we all know, if you learn Kabbalah, you don't think like anybody else.
Okay, I have another story. It's short.
Go ahead.
Where I work, from time to time, there's a little building there, and more often than not, there's always somebody that comes that's homeless. And sometimes they'll ask if they can stay in the little building, and sometimes they just set up residency. Well, there was a little man, and he was a little Chinese man, and he came and he set up residency there. And always when we had lunch, I would make sure that one of the fellows would go out and make sure that the little man had something to eat too. Or before we left in the afternoon, I would make sure there was something for him. And one day I came, it was in the evening, and there was a man with a pickup truck. And I said, can I help you with something? And he said, no. He said, I came to thank you for allowing the little Chinese man to stay in your little building, because really he doesn't have to do that, but he takes all of the money that he gets from his Social Security and he gives it out to people who he thinks are less fortunate than himself. And he says, I've come to get him and to take him to live with me. So you never know about people.
Wow.
I have told this story before. Randy, that's a very lovely story. My story is a little different. I was living with another student from the Kabbalah Center, who'd been studying a lot longer than I had been studying. And he was down on his financial situation. So I had a second bedroom, and so I let him stay there. And I went to the synagogue on a Friday morning. And I was doing Shacharit, the morning prayer. And in comes my roommate, saying, I have to leave the prayer. So I walked outside into the entryway. I always forget the word, but you enter synagogues and there's always one set of doors and then there's another set of doors that takes you directly into the synagogue. So that entryway, that hallway, that vestibule is the word I'm looking for. So I went out into the vestibule, and my roommate has this other man with him, and they're both disabled. They're both, you know, grass stains and not really hurt, but it's clear they've been in a struggle. And my roommate says, this man has tried to steal from you. Basically, his statement was the man was trying to steal from me, not from both of us. And so I have to listen. And the story comes out that the man had taken a rock and thrown it through the sliding glass doors to gain entry to the apartment. And when he did that, my roommate came out, saw him, and so the man took off running. My roommate chased him for 2-3 blocks. They're running after each other, falling down, struggling, and then again, one gets up and runs away, and my roommate keeps running after him. Finally, the man tires, and my roommate gets him, and he brings him into the Kabbalah Center where I'm praying. And my roommate is all up in arms, wants to call the police, wants to, you know, put him in jail, all of this stuff. So I basically said, looked at the man who's disabled, and I said, would you like to take a shower? And he said he would. So that's, we went back to the apartment, and he took a shower, and then he cleaned up the apartment, and then I invited him to lunch, and that was our arrangement. And when he left the lunch, you know, he appreciated what I had done. But my roommate was still up in arms. And he had lifted his driver's license, so he called the police and reported him. And the police, a couple of days later, found him, arrested him, and my roommate had to go and testify and cost him a whole day's pay at work. So it is, what goes around comes around. We all know that. That's the boomerang law at work. But people don't live it. Even if you've studied Kabbalah for a long time, you still fall into that trap of thinking that you're justified. And there's never a right or wrong. There's only tikkun. And when you understand there's tikkun, you understand that you have to treat somebody with compassion and understand where they are. And that is the lesson of life. That's the lesson of this society. Unfortunately, the society doesn't want to learn it. Should I go on, or there's somebody else would like to add or question something else in verse 263?
Wow, that was a great story.
It was a great lesson for me. I rarely tell that story.
You know, you never meet people by accident. And you never know why you meet some people you meet. And sometimes you find out immediately. And sometimes it takes months, weeks, months, or years. But there's always a reason.
That's very true.
Like, I was thinking about my grandparents who came from Holland.
Okay.
And I wanted to trace some of their genealogy down, but it's really hard because I don't speak Dutch, and it's a very difficult language for me. And I was sitting at my desk at work thinking about that, and lo and behold, this man came into work. And he wanted, since I work at a historical place, he wanted a tour of the building. So I began talking with him and gave him a tour. And I always get them to sign the guest book. And I asked him, I said, you're not from here. You're not from the state. Where exactly are you from? And he proceeded to tell me he was from Rotterdam, Holland. And that's where my grandparents were from. And so I'm not really sure why that happened and why I had the chance to meet this man. He was very nice. But it's very interesting that it did happen. So I guess I'll find out some week, month, years later. I guess I'll find out.
Well, do you still have his way to reach him, like an email or a phone number?
I can check the book, but I did give him my email because I asked him if he knew anyone that could connect me with someone that could help me with, you know, the ancestry part. So he never called back or wrote back or texted back, did any of that. But I guess maybe one day he will. It's not right time, right place.
When you're ready to really learn about it, give me a call. Because I know somebody who speaks Dutch. And I had an exchange student from Holland.
Oh, wow.
About 40 years ago. So.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So that was the reason that the man, you met the man, so that you could tell the story on this recording and that I could respond the way I just did.
That's what I just thought.
Anybody else, or should I go? You're welcome. Or should I go on?
Well, I'm just thinking, I forgot about when Tony had one of his surgeries in Lafayette several months ago, that in the doctor's office, and I think I told you when we had a class, that this man, I was just sitting across the waiting room, and he said, I hope you brought your lunch. And he was real friendly, so I got up and went and sat by him. And come to find out, he had the same name as my great-grandmother that was from Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia. And he gave me his number, and I put it in this little Ziploc bag. And I'm thinking I never did contact him because he started telling me about the genealogy that his family had done. So I completely forgot about it with all that happened with so many of his surgeries. And then, you know, so I need to get that little envelope and look up the man myself. So thank you for telling the story.
You're very welcome. It's amazing how Hashem works these coincidences.
It really is.
Well, Grant
might like to know, this lady that's homeless has a baby carriage, and she keeps her dog in the baby carriage.
You know, there's a reason for that. Most homeless people have dogs, and the reason being is if they have a dog, then the police have a tendency not to arrest them because it's too much paperwork to fill out for arresting them and then trying to get the animal shelters to come for the animal. And it also keeps them safe.
I'm not sure that the statistic is right that most people have, homeless people have dogs. But the reason does make sense, but I wouldn't disparage the police force that way.
That's why
your dog just barked in the background.
Yes.
You all have a good evening.
Okay.
Our 7 o'clock class tonight is we're continuing the Zohar reading from Parashat Kedoshim. So I hope to see you later tonight, all of you. And in the meantime, tomorrow morning we will have a Psalm class. I believe it's Psalm 67, which is coincidentally what we're doing with in the Omer. Shalom Gadol, shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.